Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Sam Legasek.
And I'm Dreadful Dan Gallagher. And we're two old buddies that have lived our life at the edge of the mainstream.
So come join us where things are a little odd.
This is the...
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Oddcast, movies, music, and gaming. Here I am. I'm Sam. I'm here with Dan. Dreadful Dan. Hi, Dan.
It's me. Hi. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Dan. Is it true that your gold penis is belly?
Your lifeline.
Your lifeline, yeah.
It's your lifeline, my friend. Hanging on to it for dear life.
Blah. How's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks. Enjoyed those Spandau Ballet puns. I was actually feeling a bit ill today, and towards the end of the day, I thought I need to do some research for this episode, and I went digging for some really bad Spandau Ballet, and it was so bad that it actually sent me into a stupor, and I fell asleep for 3 hours, and just woken up in a sort of post Spandau Ballet induced coma.
It's a shame because today's episode is about David Bowie. It's a lie. It's a Spandau Ballet. Let's have a quick listen. Well, I'm glad that Spandau Ballet was able to put you asleep. let's hope it doesn't continue for the listeners. Dan, why don't you tell me briefly? Oh, I should say that we're doing a hit and a shit. We take a song that we like and a song that we hate about a band or a subject or whatever, and then show it to each other. And then we show each other's penises and then we rate them. So what do you think about... Spanking Ballet. What's your opinions on them? What's your background?
Not a lot. Oh. I know a little bit, very little bit of some of that early stuff from like new wave compilations and things.
Yeah.
And I've always thought, oh, that's quite cool. And it doesn't really mesh with what I then know of like the, you know, prominent, big, huge pop singles. Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, everyone knows Gold and True and all this. And And then beyond that, I don't really know much either, because then I always see their albums in like charity shops and things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they've actually got quite a big body of work. And then really, like a lot of people, all I see is them bickering on TV and interviews about how acrimonious things became.
Mm.
And like their sort of abortive attempts to reform, and then occasionally they have reformed, but certain people aren't involved in all this. And but then they always seem to be playing the same old material.
Yeah.
So I never really hear anything actually new beyond this like small pool of songs. So I've actually had to do a bit of research for this episode, and it's been rather revealing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I spent a ballet for me. When I, like, you know, you listen to all the hits growing up as a kid. And I think when I was around 14, 15, I started to hear some of their, this is when like going into like Depeche Mode and all this stuff, and kind of really started at the '80s. And Spandau Ballet was always, I never really, I knew obviously about like, True and Gold and whatever and all that. But when you dig a bit deeper, you realize that there's actually some like pretty fairly decent stuff that's actually buried in there, but it's all like of a certain ilk. So if that makes sense. So it's weird because I feel like the singles do stand out from their body of work, and I can see why they're so popular. But you listen to the rest of it and you're like, okay, it's kind of you know, I want to say it's like above mediocre in that there's some bits that are interesting, but it has a certain sound to it that's definitively Spandau Ballet. And within that, with each album, because they release like an album a year for like 10 years or something, each one has its own kind of sound. But generally speaking, it's all the same thing. And that's a thing that I think works. And it's very, very 80s. But yeah, my hit, which I'll kind of come on to, was the track that kind of opened the door for me to like really explore Spandau Ballet. And I like the story behind it. I mean, like the fact is they were put together, and they were kind of like a pop band that was, just smushed up to be part of the whole New Romantic thing. And I think their first gig was a label. I might have got this mistaken. This is just me going back into my memory vaults. I think the first gig they ever did was literally, they'd already been signed, and this was a label like putting on a party going like, come listen to Spandau Ballet. And that was the first gig that it did. So that's not like we're mates trying to get together or whatever, which kind of, I suppose, explains the kind of aftermath of it all.
Same
as you. Like, I know, I'm pretty sure it's the Kemps versus everyone else, which would make sense. Gary Kemp was the main songwriter and all this stuff. Obviously, like, what I think when you go back and listen to Spandau Ballet, a lot of it does hinge on the fact that Tony Adley is a very unique and talented singer. And I don't think these songs would work as well without him, which is pretty much what he says. So,
I agree with that. And that's kind of one of the things, like the glue that binds the music over the course of the 80s.
Mm.
By listening to bits and bobs, I suppose, like you said, there is an inherent kind of unity to the songwriting, but they move through the 80s like a lot of other bands did. Like, you start with this like new wave kind of almost synth poppy kind of instrumentation as well. By 83, 84, you're moving into kind of soft pop ballads.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of kind of, as the 80s draw on, this like kind of like cheap soul kind of sound, blue-eyed soul, you know.
Well, production and it all starts to go up as well. It becomes more
polished. Sort of smooth sax, polished in that sort of 80s way that it's quite cheesy. Like, I always thought, oh god, this sounds horrible, but when I was listening to some of the later stuff today, I was like, oh, it sounds horrible. And then about 10 seconds later, I was like, I actually quite like that sound, because I've like reprocessed it through getting into stuff like, you know, Aerial Pink and like synthwave, and some of it actually is It's quite nice.
Yeah, funny enough, I think that's the sound of us getting old, because I had exactly the same experience. So I haven't listened to Spandau Ballet properly for about over 10 years, probably something like that. And even then, it wasn't as if like, oh my God, it's not like my or our Tears for Fears reverence or whatever.
Yeah.
It's more like, yeah, okay, there's stuff there. Like, I'll listen to this. And I but going back, I was like, I actually like these albums more than I thought. And I think that is part of it, the fact that I was in two minds, same as you, I imagine, which is like, it's that one thing, which is like, if I heard this on like a film or a TV show or like, you know, this kind of like dad music, I'd be like, this is fucking terrible. And then there's the other side of me, which is just like, now I'm looking at it in almost like a postmodern, nostalgic,
yeah.
As you said, like retro wave almost kind of way. I'm like enjoying it again from a different perspective and probably maybe what is originally intended. But I don't think anyone can see the irony in that.
Yeah.
I just think I'm liking it because I'm an old dad now,
yeah.
Which could also be true. But yeah, for me, it was like, Spandau Ballet, not the hits, the kind of lesser known stuff, was, yeah, part of my like, yeah, this is cool. Especially the early stuff, like,
Synth,
you know, Cocky, like, you know, it was all part of that, like Depeche Mode style, thing. It was all kind of happening at that same time.
And 1980, I think, was their first single. Mm. And their last proper studio album, I think, was 89.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it did encompass, yeah, started around the same time and kind of encompassed the 80s.
Yeah, entirety of the 80s.
Should we swing into your hit?
Oh, you want to hear my hit? To be fair, actually, my hit is quite a good start. So for me, a bit of context, this was, apart from, as I was saying, as I said earlier, apart from the actual Spandau Ballet hits, this track, when I first heard it, blew my fucking mind. And ever since, this has been my go-to Spandau Ballet track when I want to introduce people to Spandau Ballet as being not the band that they thought they might have been. And it's their very first track. It is, to cut a long story short.
I thought so.
So let's have a listen.
I knew you were going to pick that because I wanted to pick that because that's my favourite Spandau Ballet song. Mm. And in fact, it's the only one really that I would consider giving a hit to. Mm. So
I'm interested in what else you got then.
I was like, I need to have a backup plan because I thought, I bet Sam picks that. Because this was the first song, beyond like what you hear on the radio, I had a CD. I think maybe you heard it from the same CD.
Maybe.
Because it was around the same time that we were like getting into a lot of stuff. I can't remember what it was called. It's called like New Wave Nation or something.
Right.
No, it was like a compilation of like, 70s and 80s New Wave hits. And it was on there. And I was like, this is great. I was like, is this the same? This is that Gold band. It doesn't seem right.
Yeah. True, though, and that's it. They came in. It's a bit darker. I love his vocals here. I fucking love it. I love the breakdown. I love the bass line. Everything about it is just fucking great. And it's a bit dirty as well.
Yeah. Well, the sounds they've got on the synths, that fuzzy, crunchy kind of, almost like, it's like, it's a bit kind of like prodding you along.
Hmm.
Nah, 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 nah.
Yeah, it's just a cool fucking riff. But yeah, the way it's still got this big ballad, like these big 80s kind of vocals. It's all like, you know, very, very young doobies down and whatever, all this stuff. It's all like proclamations or whatever. Yeah. And then, you know, then back into the... It's just like, fuck, that is so fucking cool.
That's such great. A good groove.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah, you're right. His vocal is what kind of just like lifts it into a different territory from what would have been, you know, still a damn good track.
Yeah.
But it just kind of like makes it stand out a bit from other synth pop bands at the time, I think.
Yeah, for sure. It's great. I love everything about it. And yeah, this was like the track that they opened everything with. So when I was talking about that gig, you can see it. You can see a video of that gig where they're like, I was band out ballet, blah, 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 blah. And then it's straight into the boo doo 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 doo. And I was thinking, fuck, awesome. Great. Yeah. No wonder everyone like wet their pants. This is great. And all of them standing on stage all fucking made up and obviously gone OTT on all the new romantic stuff. It's just ridiculous. Like they went overboard on it. I love it. It's brilliant.
Yeah. One of my favorite bits is that bass breakdown in the middle. And they do some really cool like drumming in there, like really strange little clattering kind of things. Like not something you'd expect to hear in a kind of pop single.
No, it kind of reminds me a little bit of like Dexy's Midnight Runners or something. I don't know, that would have been around the same time, I suppose.
Yeah. So Adam and the Ants had quite a lot of like interesting tribal drumming stuff going on as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's kind of a little bit like that. It's quite like... I don't know. It's like they're hitting the rims or something.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. A bin at the side of a bin. It's true though, because that was like, you know, it's all like, oh, that's what Dexys did, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
All that.
The precursor to Stomp.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Shitty Stomp. I've got a story about Stomp. Actually, we were doing some filming for it was called Rooftop Rainforest, where I put a rainforest on top of Westfield. And we did it for Sky One for Earth Day years ago.
Right.
And part of it, we need to basically make up shit to fill a two-part show. And one of it was like, oh, we're going to recreate noises from the rainforest, but how do we recreate these noises? And we got in like a Foley artist.
Yeah.
I'm going off on one now. A Foley artist who was this woman who was like, skinny and like wore all black and like she looked like I can't remember the actress's name, but like very arty, put it that way, like looks like a French artiste or whatever.
Okay.
And I think she's German, which would have made more sense. And I remember we had to go to Westfield, and this was at a time when I was like thinking I was fucking Jim Morrison, so I was like all in black, skinny black jeans and whatever, black t-shirt. And I remember like me and her walking into this elevator in Westfield that just opened up, and people thought we were like this fucking like rock star couple, because we just looked like we were just like from the Velvet Underground or something like that. But part of that episode was that we went to Stomp, and he learned it has absolutely no real bearing on the show or whatever, but we like went backstage with the Stomp, and they were like, yeah, you can do this and playing this, and we did it all on stage as well, in front of audiences, whatever, and all this, like, oh, you're going to be on Sky One, or whatever, and the audience are sitting there like, what the fuck is this? Why am I watching this weird old man? He's like a Dusty Gedge, who was just the worst host. He wasn't a host, he's just a fucking gardener, basically, that we just made host the show. He's up in front of this Stomp thing. And that's the only bit of Stomp I've seen, was coming in at the end for the big finale. And all this. And I remember sitting there watching it thinking, these people have paid to see this. Like, is this good? Because it looks fucking shit. It looks fucking dreadful. Have you ever seen it?
Only like the little clips that you see on like TV adverts.
But it's like, this part of me is just like, I get it. But at the same time, I don't get it enough that I think I'd sit through an entire West End show of this.
No, it looks dreadful. I hate all that kind of thing.
Keep it to 10 seconds of a Spandau Ballet song, and that's it. That's as much as I want to hear it. Right, anyway, sorry, I went off on a complete fucking tangent there.
I'm going to go off on another tangent, though.
Go.
We're going down the rabbit hole of your your anecdote. I just Googled Dusty Gedge.
Yeah, yeah.
You know those, like, postcards say greetings from London, and they've got a couple of like typical like punks.
Yeah.
Those like ridiculous coloured mohawks.
Yeah.
He posed for one of those.
What? What do you mean he posed for one of those?
He's he is one of the punks.
Really?
I think he's just dressed up as a punk. He's got like a fake mohawk on. And seems to be on his website. Reflections of being a punk for a day. He is one of those guys in his freaking postcards.
Oh God. Well, yeah, I mean, he's just, his whole thing is putting, you know, when you see like walls and roofs that are all with plants on them, green roofs, green walls, whatever. That's him. That's what he does. yeah. Anyway, that's the story. A bit of my life. Dan, Spandau Ballet.
Yes.
I never thought we'd get onto the, this on the Spandau Ballet episode.
Matter in hand.
So that was my hit. I think let's listen to your shit first.
Oh my God. Okay. Let me just tell you what album it's from.
It's going to be quite telling. It's going to be quite telling, actually. To be fair, all their albums are fairly... It's got a different drum sound. That's about it.
I don't know. I was quite shocked when I heard this one. I did consider doing... they re-recorded To Cut a Long Story Short for an album they did in 2009.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Well, I started listening to it and I was like, oh, that sounds a bit shit. And then I got halfway through it and I was like, no, that's actually quite good. It's just a good song. Doesn't matter how which way you reinterpret it, it's still inherently good.
Right.
So that went out the window. I've gone to their album from 1986, Through the Barricades.
Yep.
Which has got this, it's almost like after the True album. They seem to have tried to do something a bit more like rock orientated.
Yeah.
But they've produced it with all these like really soft synths and it just sounds really cheesy. But I just thought this was the worst song on the album. It is called Virgin.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were going to say that. Funny that you chose this because this is generally speaking, like this album isn't one of my favorites, put it that way. But it's as what you were saying before, like I think if Ariel Pink did a cover of this song, I think you would love it.
Yeah.
I think you'd probably be really into it. But I think just the way it's sounding at the moment isn't great. I think what you just speaking on your behalf. I think what you don't like about it is the bum 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 or whatever that makes it sound like a, funny enough, like a West End show or something, or like something like you'd have at, you know, the BBC New Year's Eve thing.
It's too much pizzazz.
Yeah, exactly, and it feels very theatrical. But then when you kind of get into when the song's actually going in, I think you'd actually quite like the melody if it was like copy and pasted and to another singer or something like
I think if someone messed it up a bit maybe, but you think I could bop along to it like you've just been bopping along?
I think you're
familiar with this song then already.
I thought you might pick it.
Isn't that funny, because I started today with a completely blank canvas and I listened to a few albums and that is what I've zoned in on.
That is a particularly rough one, is it, in the catalogue?
Well,
I think so. I mean, like anything where you're getting into like the latter end of Spandau Ballet is when it gets progressively worse, basically. So I'd be surprised if you picked up anything early apart from mine was not particularly early, but apart from my shit. But yeah, when I look at when it's starting to get, how do I put this? When it's starting to get the female vocal.
Oh yeah, that's involved, when it went.
Yeah, that's when I'm like, right, okay, it starts to fall off a cliff now. And it's particularly...
that made the decision for me. When I heard that vocal, I was like, yep, that's the one.
Yeah. But that's in the same way, like some of these I don't actually mind, but with that one in particular, exactly for that reason of the bum bum, but it just like, it just feels shit. It just sounds shit. It doesn't do itself any favors by doing it like that.
Most of what's bad about this song happens in the first 20 seconds, actually. And there's a lot of bad things happen.
Mm.
So let me just tell you.
Okay.
So, yeah, first second. Ba, ba, ba.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It's just too bright and, yeah, gaudy and tacky.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we get that repeating a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Then about 7 or 8 seconds in,
yeah,
we get, oh yeah!
yeah.
Really cheesy, horrible.
Yeah, that is bad, yeah.
I mean, immediately after that, we get a horrible... really horrible. Is that, I don't know what it is, it a guitar or a horn? Something's been processed and it's just like really cheesy. Oh, it just sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's a sax. I think it's trying to be a sax. Yeah,
it's like horrible. Ah, oh,
but then it goes to like ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding. It's just, it does that for 2 seconds. And it's pretty mediocre.
But I like the vocal melody. The vocal melody makes it sound like fucking Duran Duran. Like,
hang on, we haven't got to the vocal melody yet.
Right, okay, all right.
We've swung into that beat and it's just like, dum, 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 dum. It's fine. It's in just depth. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
And almost immediately, there's a horrible little keyboard flourish. Okay, it sounds like something from a game show.
Yeah.
And then we're back into the boom, dum. Boom, boom, and then things are okay. Like, it's just a kind of bland song, but that first 20 seconds is like, oh my god! And then yeah, the real kicker is when we start getting these female backing vocals. It's yeah. pushes it off the end of the pier, mate.
Poor old Virgin. Virgin's dead.
Yeah, the lyrics as well. Actually, I was like, I don't know about this. We are Virgin. Pure as snow or something. It's just like, what? It sounds like the Borg.
Borg?
We are Virgin.
Oh, right, yeah.
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 Very strange.
It's very strange. Okay, well, with that shit, let's follow another. This was difficult. For me, it's between two songs, but the one I think that will cut it the closest, because I can't stand it and it sounds like a mistake each time I hear it, is
okay.
Coffee Club. Go to this coffee club, Dan.
It's no Club Tropicana, is it? But I don't know. I'd pop in, maybe have a flat white and get out.
No.
You tell me why you don't like it, and then I'll probably agree with some of what you say.
I just hate that bum 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 bum. It's like it's purposefully trying to. And I know, like, I'm always the person that goes, I like that when it does things different, doesn't expect. But with that, it just doesn't, it sounds horrible. I just hate it because it's also trying to be like a bit like, I don't know, like sexy and like, I don't know, like sousery or whatever, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I don't mind the kind of, how do I put this, like the gang vocal, I guess. Some of the sax stuff is all right in the chorusy bits. But each time it just goes to that bum, 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 bum. I'm just like, oh my God, I need to turn it off because it's actually making me feel sick. I cannot stand it. I hate it. And to be fair, like a lot of people, like, you know, this. So this is off, yeah, Diamond, which was 1982. This was released.
Just their second album.
Yeah. And is it a second or is it a third? Yeah, it's a second, isn't it? Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, the album is all right. It's got some fairly all right for a Spandau Ballet album, if that's the kind of thing, basically. But with this, it feels like it is purposefully, I just don't know what it's doing. I don't know. I can't stand it. I just don't like it.
Wow. Do you think you'd prefer it if they just changed that bass slightly? So, because at the moment it goes dun 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 dun. But what if it just went bow 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 bow? Could you deal with that?
Maybe, maybe. But still, it's like I don't. It's not a great song anyway.
Like, yeah, it's quite a strange song. Like you said, it's like a kind of salsa-y Latin thing.
Yeah.
But then, like you said, there's like these weird sort of like East End London gang vocals.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
Because it sounds like, yeah, it's like a sexy, high life kind of party. That is, yeah. I was like, that's interesting, that bass thing. Mm. It immediately made me go, I haven't heard that before. But after it was repeated about a dozen times, I was like, it's just not working.
No, it's too jarring. It's making me feel weird even thinking about him again. I just really don't. It does something physical.
Wow.
I don't know what it is. It's like my brain, the idea of my brain trying to forcefully stick it together to make sense makes the rest of my body in a physiological way feel sick. It's okay. So weird.
All right, let's drop the bass. Let's talk about these horns because I haven't heard this song. I haven't heard anything on this album, I don't think.
But,
and already the progression from the first album with all that crunchy synth stuff. This is like a big step into that commercial arena.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got that already, that bright, tacky horn sounds that I really dislike.
Yes, yeah. It's there.
And it kicks the song off, actually, like a burst of it. I was like, oh, God, bloody hell, here we go.
Yeah, it's very much there. Like, I don't know what it's trying to... I think it is trying to do... I don't know. I was thinking, what's going on at that time? Like, is it trying to be a bit ska? Do you know what I mean?
I think it's trying to be kind of sexy and, like, sound opulent, you know? Mm. Like a Roxy Music or
yeah.
Even, like I said, Club Tropicana vibe.
But it's supposed to be, yeah, like, I mean, it's called Coffee Club. I think the idea is that, yeah, it's supposed to be like this big, fun,
sophisticated.
Yeah, like you can imagine this in, like, I always think of, you know, like The Mask with Jim Carrey, where it's got this old, like, jazz clubs. It's like,
yeah,
do-ba-ba-da, whatever, like that. It's like that almost exactly. Yeah, it's kind of got that feeling to it. It's trying to be like that old school thing. But yeah, I don't
know.
It doesn't really work for me in this instance.
Hats off to them for doing something kind of experimental, trying to like cobble together some quite disparate elements. But it feels like a failed experiment.
Yeah. Well, that was my shit, Dan. So now it's your turn.
We're going to end on a high note. So, yeah, you've left me in a bit of a quandary here because you took my favourite song.
Oh, sorry.
Not going to cast the net too widely because the track that you selected, as well as being their debut single, was the first song on their debut album. So let's go on to track two. It's Reformation. We'll be right back. Reformation. So I could have picked anything from this album, really. But that is the one that kind of stood out to me the most. Toys as well, and Age of Blows. But I just thought this was so cool. It's got some really good swagger to it. I love that, like, really prominent kind of bass. Probably running through a lot of these songs on this early album. Really cool synth sounds. Kind of a little bit dark. Bit Devo-y in places. Another really strong vocal, like almost pompous. And I kind of thought like maybe a little bit of like a Joy Division hangover here. They've stolen a little bit of that kind of sound, put that in there. I love as well that we get like a minute of music before the vocal even comes in. And it really gets time to just like do its thing and establish itself in a very cool way. And that's Stone Cold classic, and I've only ever heard it twice now.
It's great because it's like, it doesn't, as you said, it's got the music there. So the thing of what basically Spandau Ballet went on to do is they, obviously Tony Hadley's voice is great, but it's kind of on everything. So it's like, it becomes the main pulling point, to be honest, like later on down the line. Whereas with these tracks, instead you've got a solid fucking cool thing, and actually his vocals aren't across everything, as you said. And so when they do come in and out, it actually has quite a profound effect, more so than it was had he just been, and it just, you know, started off with ding, dang, ding, dang, whatever. and all that. But as you said, it is, yeah, it's really dark. It's very like, you know, this was 1981. As we're saying, Depeche Mode and all this stuff, it's all this stuff is kicking off. Kraftwerk are like coming up with these like new kind of darker synth sounds. As you said, there's an element of Devo. You can hear a bit of Devo to it as well. Especially like with that kind of that vocal, I guess like the sound of that vocal a little bit against that kind of synth sound. It's much more serious. It's like a more serious, darker thing, which is weird to compare it to, but because you said it, I can hear it now. If that makes sense. And yeah, I mean, you've got like, it is just, this was such a cool spot in time, because even with things like, oh, I don't know, like when you think of fucking, I don't know, like Human League or something like that, where it's like these big 80s synth stuff, but you know, you kind of go back and where it's like a bit like darker and everyone's just trying out these new synth sounds and no one's like 100%. And yeah, they're doing things that are like, feel a bit more different and personal, and you're coming out of that like post-punk new wave kind of thing, so there's still that mood and mentality and stuff there. And this track is fucking great, it's brilliant, but it's still got all the staple Spandau Ballet stuff there, in the sense of it's kind of got same we just got from To Cut a Long Story Short as well, which is that like drums, like it's like those 80s kind of drum feels, which are still there. It's got those big, epic, dramatic vocals, obviously with Tony Hadley, which is great. But yeah, and what I love a lot about this album is that it's very thin production wise. And so it feels very stripped back, and that kind of makes it sound more lonely and stark and dark, basically, than a lot of the rest of their nice sheeny, preeny, shiny stuff that comes on later. And so this has a grit to it, has a like a loneliness which adds into it. It's a great fucking track. Like and that's the thing, as I was saying before, I'm not like the biggest Spandau Ballet song, but yeah, I forget, like, again, as I was saying before, like, To Cut a Long Story Short opened up that world to me, and I forget about tracks like this where I'm just like, that's a fucking solid, amazing track. No one, like, if, and it's great to have it, you're here actually, because it's like, if people talk about like, what's your favorite Spandau Ballet song, you say like Reformation. You'd be like, what? And you'd be well entitled to it, because it's a great track, and it's only had 375,000 plays on Spotify, as I'm looking at it. Just nothing really in the grand scheme of things.
Start hitting that play button, people. Let's get it up there. I had no idea how good this album was, so I'm quite excited, actually. I'm going to give it a few listens and keep my eyes peeled. I've never even seen it, this album. It's called Journeys to Glory, the debut album. And considering I spend a lot of time scrolling around on people's vinyl accounts on Instagram and digging through boxes of records and things, I've literally never seen it. So going to keep my eyes peeled for a copy.
Yeah, I think it's worth getting hold of if you can. I mean, it's looking here, it's had a 2010 remaster, so there must be, you know, still, that's still 11 years ago, but there must be something out there. But yeah, it's well worth checking it out. Cool. I think that's it.
So that's the boys from the ballet.
Boys from the ballet, indeed. Yeah, a bit of Spandau Ballet for you there. So yeah, as we're saying, like, recommend, check it out. Start at the beginning, work your way up to the modern day if you so wish. But it's all there. It's all there.
Get stuck in.
Exactly. Cool. Well, thanks, guys. And listen to us next week. And write to us and tell us what you think, because you probably looked at this going, Spandau Ballet, but I think you've been pleasantly surprised, haven't you, naughty boys and girls? I guess we'll see you next time.
Next time indeed, yep. More Oddcast, more hit and shit next week and every week. Come back and enjoy the conversation.
Exactly. Sure. Bye.
Goodbye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. If you want to get in touch with us or get a movie, album or game put on our list to discuss, then email us at oddcastoddballs@gmail.com or anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. This is part of a New Winter Podcast Network, so head on over to anewwinter.net to check out our other shows. You can also follow us on Instagram at anewwinter, Twitter at anewwinter, and you can head on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/anewwinter. Thanks for listening and see you again soon.